Here to give us the Minnesota perspective, senior writer for The Athletic, covers the Vikings and the Timberwolves. John Krasinski is our guest here on the Arizona Sports Line. John, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good. Going into this series, from our perspective here in Arizona, we didn't really pick up on a whole lot of civic confidence in the Timberwolves. Going into this series, based on how the three games against the Suns had gone, we saw what happened Saturday. How would you rate the civic confidence going into game two after what the T-Wolves put out there, John?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the civic confidence isn't just about the three games in the regular season. It's about 35 years of general Timberwolves dysfunction and malaise. So I do think that this team, I think that the Timberwolves needed game one more than Phoenix did. And so to see the Wolves play as well as they did in game one and really kind of handle the Suns certainly has raised the confidence level of the community around here that, hey, maybe this team really can make this happen and go to the next round. They've only been in the second round one other time in their existence. So they're fighting a lot of demons. I still think that until they actually do it and win four games, there's going to be kind of a cynicism and a waiting for the other shoe to drop. But certainly going into tonight's game, the level of nerves and confidence is much cooler now than it was going into game one, when everyone was like, oh man, we are, you know, we're bracing for a, you know, a punch in the mouth.
Yeah, I agree with you. The T-Wolves did need that more than the Suns. I think it's a very apt summation of game one. Anthony Edwards also needed that. He had not had a lot of success against Devin Booker or Bradley Beal or the Suns, for that matter. What is the aftermath of that? And is there a feeling now that he is unlocked against this team, that he has found the code against this team?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly was a big step for him now. I would say that of all the players on this team that the Timberwolves have, and when it comes to expectations of playing well in the playoffs, Anthony Edwards is at the top of the list. He's been terrific in his first two series, you know, as his second year and his third year in the league. And so he seems to be able to rise to the occasion. But certainly when you juxtapose that against, you know, averaging 14 points a game, he took seven shots against the Suns on in the regular season finale, there was a question about how is he going to generate offense for himself, because it was clear that Phoenix was really, their game plan was, we are going to just double and triple Anthony Edwards and make other people beat us. And so what Ant has to do is walk the line of being patient, not forcing things, and not turning the ball over when he's looking for his own shot and finding other people, but also being in a position where he can be aggressive and he can absolutely, you know, knock down the big threes that he did in game one and that sort of thing. So I think that the way that he played the game, the maturity, the decision-making for a fourth-year guy, 22-year-old, I think was exceptional. And I do think it gave him a bit of a blueprint going forward for how to attack the Suns.
John Krasinski, who covers the T-Wolves for The Athletic, is our guest here on the Arizona Sports Line. We talked briefly yesterday, John, about your piece that you did on Mike Conley, the silent veteran leader of the T-Wolves. Really enjoyed the piece, but him stepping up after that that regular season beat down that the Suns gave the T-Wolves and saying, hey, do this for me. I don't have that much more time left. And I thought it was really poignant after watching the way things unfolded, because that looked like a much more emotionally connected team in game one. I guess my question to you is, how much battery life do you think that has going into game two? Or was that more of a game one phenomenon?
Well, I certainly think that what Mike recognized, you know, he made those comments to his team coming out of the wipeout and the regular season finale. And so I do think that he looked at it and said, this is a group that needs like a bit of a wake up call. And I think that he understands that this team is incredibly talented and that he doesn't want it to go to waste. And so he felt like, for the first time since he really came to this team, that it was time to make, you know, do more than lead by example, to ask something of these guys. He has a bunch of equity built up. And so I think it was very effective and the timing was perfect for him. And it gave them the boost into game one. I don't think it's a thing that's going to really carry over throughout the series as much. I think that was a, you know, one bullet you fire to kind of get the team refocused and energized. And now it's really up to the group in general to just handle things professionally, to keep that intensity and keep going forward. There's only so many rah-rah speeches you can give, for a team. And I think that one injected belief and focus into this group. And now that's just got that confidence has to carry over sort of naturally going forward.
The defensive job Jaden McDaniels did along with Nikhil Alexander-Walker on Devin Booker obviously was paramount in game one. Is he that good of a defensive stopper? What do you think that the Suns are going to do to kind of unlock Book the way that the T-Wolves did with AE in game one?
Yeah, I mean, number one, yes, Jaden McDaniels and Nikhil Alexander-Walker are both terrific perimeter defenders. Like, I think that for people around the league who are going to be tuning into the playoffs for the first time and watching the Timberwolves for the first time, maybe haven't really spent a whole lot of attention paying to Minnesota for the regular season, they're going to look at it and say, wow, like, I didn't realize that these guys could do this, when actually that's what they've been doing all year long. The two of them are two of the best at navigating screens that you're going to find in the league. Like, they do not get hung up on screens. They get through them. They make it very difficult for the guys that they are guarding to get clean looks. And so Devin Booker is going to face one or the other for 48 minutes or forever, however long he is on the floor. And so it is a tremendous challenge. That said, Book is one of the best tough shot makers in the league. I do not expect him to go 5 for 16 again. I do think that the Timberwolves strategy seems to be, at least it was in game one, that, hey, look, we don't have an answer for Kevin Durant. There's just nobody that's going to be able to guard him to a degree where you keep him on, you know, 20 points or under. So maybe the key is to single coverage KD as much as possible. If he scores, he scores. That's going to happen. What the Wolves cannot do is let Devin Booker and Bradley Beal or Grayson Allen, you know, a combination of those guys, go off and get hot and get comfortable. And that's what they did too often in the regular season. And so I think they devoted a lot more of their resources to trying to make things much more difficult for Bradley Beal and Devin Booker. I'm sure they will shoot better. I'm sure they will have better success going forward. But I also think that it's a sustainable approach defensively, just to try to make things really hard on those guys and make them work for what they can get.
John, before we let you go, both teams have been affected by injury already. Grayson Allen questionable for the Suns. On the Minnesota side, Kyle Anderson was so reliable off the bench. He was a 22-minute player for 79 games. He only plays 4-plus minutes, leaves with the hip pointer. If he can't go tonight or for the rest of the series, how big of a loss is that, and how do they overcome that?
I mean, it certainly would be a big loss. He is very important to them as an offensive playmaker and as a defender, especially he is a guy that you figure was going to get plenty of time on Kevin Durant throughout this series. But I do think that if there is a separator between the Timberwolves and the Suns in this series, it's the depth. And so we saw in game one, when Kyle Anderson was not able to play, you just play Naz Reid more minutes. You play Nikhil Alexander-Walker more minutes. And Chris Finch has more options to go to be effective, to find things that'll work for a Kyle Anderson injury. Then, frankly, I think what Frank Vogel has, if Grayson Allen can't play. If Grayson Allen can't play, I think the Suns are in real trouble, because Allen was so big for them in the regular season, hitting open shots, not just threes, but getting to the basket a little bit, mid-rangers. And if it's Eric Gordon getting the bulk of those minutes, I mean, I think there's just a huge drop-off there. And so I think the Wolves are equipped to handle a Kyle Anderson injury. I'm not so confident in what the Suns could do without Grayson Allen.
John, great stuff. Thanks so much for joining us today. We really appreciate the insight.